The temperature's rising outside, but you can stay cool and comfortable inside with Blinds.com. Don't miss Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale happening now. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, and no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com makes it easy. Our virtual design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for total convenience, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Don't miss Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale happening now. Save up to 50%, plus get a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
All right, welcome in, everybody. Happy Thursday to you as we get ready for the holiday tomorrow. It's almost the 4th of July. You got one more day to get through here, and you can hang out with us this morning to help you do it. Thanks for tuning in here on KFH. Thanks for watching us on our video streams, which are available to you lots of places. 12 News Connected, Facebook, YouTube, X. You can comment in all those places. You can reach out to us directly on those platforms, and we can get those comments over the air. We can also take your voice messages through the Odyssey app, which is always a great way to tune into the show if you're not around your radio, but have your smartphone handy. Just download the Odyssey app, download the show. If you have to leave us at any point today, glad to be here with you. We will, of course, talk about the Royals. Disappointing, tough loss last night. They almost had it, couldn't get it, almost came back, couldn't get it. And now they really need to split that series in Seattle. We get the MLB All-Star rosters coming out, some NBA news, and our buddy Tim Fitzgerald, our K-State insider, will join us later on in the show. It's all What's on Tap, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company. WBC celebrates the 4th with $4 beers from July 2nd through July 6th at all three brew pubs. A great idea. If you're entertaining anyone from out of town, Wichita Brewing Company, $4 beers July 2nd through the 6th. Tommy, good morning. How are you?
Tired yeah. This morning. I was out a little too late last night. And it was a random Wednesday night, you know, going out and hanging out a little bit with you and a couple other buddies, and I'm paying the price this morning. I'm not going to lie about it.
Make some sad choices, as my son's preschool teacher used to say.
Yeah. You know, there are no bad choices. There are just sad choices.
Yeah.
I'm good. I'm a little tired. I feel fine. I'm not, you know, like hungover or anything. Just a little, like I could have used another couple hours of sleep.
You always use a couple hours of sleep. The problem for me was that was all fine and good. It was staying up to see if the Royals were going to get a comeback or not.
Yeah.
And they did not. And they almost did. They probably blew their opportunity in the eighth and then couldn't get it in the ninth. Man, that was a tough loss. We'll get into that as we make our way through. We got the all-star rosters. The starters, anyway, are out. We will get the reserves and all of that here pretty soon. I haven't even seen the date those are released yet. Yeah, Sunday. They'll come out Sunday. So we have some of that that we can get into. Interesting things happening in the NBA still here in that offseason. Dame's on the move, man. I don't know what the Bucks are doing here. I guess they're just doing everything they can to keep Giannis. And the Lakers get a big man. Is that enough for LeBron to keep him around? I don't know. I heard who was on yesterday, now here on the Infinity Sports Network, and they were predicting he'd be gone. I think it was Rich Eisen predicting he wouldn't be a Laker. I don't know what I think. I still think he's going to be a Laker. It's interesting. It's going to be a really interesting one to follow, but I think he's going to end up being a Laker. It's just going to be too hard to get him anywhere that he'll have a better chance to win.
I just hate how teams, you know, feel like they've got to do everything that they can do to placate their superstars. And I've got no problem with Giannis. I understand that he is probably, you know, in the top three as far as most impactful players in the league. And so, yeah, the Bucks recognize that, you know, without him, they're not championship contenders. So they want to do what they can to, you know, make him happy. But as Brian Weber on the Rome Report just said, the whole reason that the Bucks brought Dame Lillard to Milwaukee was to help Giannis. And now Lillard is to the curb and they bring in Miles Turner. And, you know, just these organizations have to make these radical changes just to keep their top superstar happy. And I don't love that. I don't love the way that the NBA has to do that more so than any other sport. It's one of the reasons why I'm not a big NBA guy in general, and other teams, other leagues and other teams do
it. TJ Watt's doing it right now.
But not at the same kind of extent and the frequency that we see this happen all the time in the NBA, but it's what's going on right now with Giannis and the Bucks and LeBron to, I would say, a lesser degree with LeBron and the Lakers. It's going to be a continuing, pretty interesting offseason, I think.
It is. The Lakers are in a better position, of course, because if LeBron said, okay, I need to be traded, they have Luka. So they're not. It sucks for Milwaukee because it's hard for them to find these kinds of star players. I think there are, you know, instances where teams have sat on their hands and not done enough for star players, not just in the NBA, but across sports, where it's like, yeah, I'd be mad too. Like, I think about in other sports, I don't know, Andrew Luck or just whatever, where you're just like, what, like, when are we going to actually do something to get better? Why are you just sitting here, you know, just we're never trying. I get it, but like, that's not what the Bucks did. The Bucks have constantly tried to get better. Damian Lillard got hurt in the postseason, right? Like, that's not, they won a title not that long ago. The Lakers have mismanaged things. The problem for LeBron is he's had such a hand in everything they've done, other than the Luka trade, it sounds like. Like, he helps decide who these coaches are going to be, which, again, I have no problem with. Like, look, the Lakers could walk away from LeBron anytime they wanted to, right? Like, these teams make these choices. They don't have to do any of this. They do. And sometimes the players, I think, are within their rights, and sometimes I think they overstep. I think I do think it's kind of case by case.
I mean, I don't think
it's just the NBA. This happens all over sports.
Yeah, but not to the extent that it happens in the NBA. I'd like to think that the NBA is moving more towards the path of not having to kowtow to their top stars, because look at the two teams in the NBA Finals. Neither one of those teams had superstar. Like, they, of course, you've got SGA and you've got Tyrese Halliburton, but not like LeBron James or Kevin Durant or Giannis, like, or Luka, Nikola Jokic. But they were in the NBA Finals, these two teams were. And so I'd like to think that the NBA is moving away from just the one top superstar driven team to more of a balanced and depth type play.
Yeah, they could be, and I hope so too. But I also, like, Oklahoma City's players haven't been in it long enough to get to the point of their career where they might want to do that. I hope they don't. Like, I would, again, though, there are organizations that drive you nuts. You're like, why are you sitting on, like, you're wasting away here with this star player. You're not being aggressive enough. So I don't know. Like, the teams choose to do their thing. They don't have to kowtow. They do. And there's a reason they do. And that's the reason the players have the power to begin with. But yeah, it's just for me, it's not so much that I think it's wrong or right or anything. It's just hard to follow. Like it gets tired. And I'm with you on that. Like it does.
Well, and there had to have been something that happened with Giannis and Dame Lillard and maybe either some kind of falling out or Giannis just saying, look, like with Lillard and the fact that he's hurt, you know, where I'm not going to get to play with him for a while. I don't want him on the roster anymore. If I'm going to come back to Milwaukee, kind of throwing his weight around, you know, it sucks for Lillard because he went to Milwaukee to play with Giannis, had a freak injury, and now he's not with that team anymore. And I wonder what his next steps are coming back from his injury, you know, where he'll end up in the NBA.
And I mean, for them, like the Adrian Griffin thing or Adrian Griffin from Wichita, like he kind of got screwed there. Like it's been unraveling since their title for a little while. And at some point, like if you're Milwaukee, that's why I keep saying, like, I kind of like if I'm Milwaukee, I think I'd make a trade. Like it's clear, and I know that's got to be hard. You won your title. He's one of the best players in the world. He's still one of the best players in the world. I'm sure fans there love him. But at some point, like if it ain't going to work, you got to look to the future. I mean, Oklahoma City did it, right? They finally had to just walk away, and it didn't take that long in the grand scheme of things for them to get good again. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. Let's talk Royals when we return. Man, that was a tough one last night. We'll be back. Let's talk about it next.
The temperature's rising outside, but you can stay cool and comfortable inside with Blinds.com. Don't miss Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale happening now. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, and no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com makes it easy. Our virtual design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for total convenience, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Don't miss Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale happening now. Save up to 50%, plus get a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 40% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your DSW store is on sale right now. Sneakers, sandals, any style. If they're on the clearance racks, they're 40% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. We're glad to be here with you on a Thursday, getting you ready. The last day of the week. Hopefully, everybody gets to take the four-day work week and enjoy the 4th of July festivities tomorrow night. They're all over the place. You've got downtown fireworks shows from the city. You've got the Wind Surge putting on a fireworks show. We'll be out in East Wichita, Crestview Country Club's fireworks show. That's become kind of our family's tradition out there. They put on an incredible, incredible show. That day consists of a lot of time at a big pool party out at Crestview, Tommy, and then it wraps up in the evening with a fireworks show at Crestview Country Club. We love our partnership with them, but that was happening even before that. It's a good day out there. I'll just say that.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite times to be out at Crestview, just with, you know, a lot of years I've played golf in the morning, and it's usually pretty busy out on the golf courses, but a lot of fun. And, you know, then going to the pool and enjoying the pool party. I think DJ Carbon is going to be playing music out at the pool, and then for the fireworks and all of that. And then they do a big cookout, barbecue, and snow cone shop, and all these different things, and the huge fireworks show out at the club. So it's always one of my favorite times.
Yeah. And if you're out and you're about and you're on those fireworks shows and you want to tune in here to Infinity Sports Network, I'll be on there. Call in. It'll be an interesting shift. I don't think I've done a July 4th shift there, as I've done a lot of those holidays, but that'll be a good one. Hope everybody has a safe and happy holiday. The summer concert series that is on Fridays this time of year at the Capitol Feder Amphitheater in Andover will not be tomorrow, but return next Friday on July 11th with Jet City Live on stage. Gates open at 6:30. Show starts at 8. Enjoy free live music, food trucks, Friday night fun all summer long. Full schedule at kfhradio.com. All right, Tommy, let's hit the Royals from last night. Boy, it was, you know, they had that 1-0 lead. They couldn't hang on. The bullpen, which was great the night before, couldn't give them what they needed to. It's Zerpa and Schreiber, but Zerpa mostly again here. And they were trying to bridge it to get to the point they needed to get. Noah Cameron's pulled after 4 2/3. He continues to have a little bit of a shorter leash. He had been shaky lately, but at 80 pitches, he was looking good last night. I don't know about that call. In the short term, it did. Like, Schreiber came in and got his job done, and then eventually you had to use Zerpa.
He didn't. I mean, you know, Schreiber gave up a home run to tie the game, you know, and so, like, that was right after Cameron got pulled and Schreiber got put in. He gave up a home run, and the game...
That was in the sixth, wasn't it?
Regardless, when they pulled Cameron, Schreiber came in and gave up a home run, and the game was tied at that point. Yep. And so, I mean, look, we can question the decision to pull Noah Cameron. I think it's a fair one. We've had those questions before from Matt Quatrero, pulling Noah Cameron, maybe a little bit too early, that, you know, some would say. I don't blame the bullpen. I don't blame Schreiber. I don't blame Zerpa, because bullpens do that sort of thing. Right. You're not always going to have a stellar outing from your bullpen, and it's not going to happen all the time. It comes back to the same song, just a different verse, that the Royals cannot offensively string it together to be able to pick up their pitching when their pitching is not elite. That's the major. I mean, like, Noah Cameron was pitching really well, but the Royals only scored one run, and that was in the top of the first. And they got that run, and you're like, okay, they've got a 1-0 lead. They scored first again, and then they couldn't do anything else until much, 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 much later in the game. Very little run support for Noah Cameron. I think that's a big reason why maybe he's getting a shorter leash, is because the Royals aren't giving him any kind of run support. I can't remember the last time that Noah Cameron pitched in a game where he had even a 2-run lead or a 3-run lead, anything more than 1-0 or whatever, a 1-run lead, or a lot of times it's been a deficit when he's pitched. And so I've got a major, I mean, we continue to have a major issue with that. And the fact that the Royals cannot string together offense enough to be able to pick it up when their pitching is not getting the job done at 100%.
Yeah. And Caglione wasted a couple opportunities a couple of different times. I don't know But there's not, and there's not a whole lot you can do there with that, except let him keep working through it. You can't. They went up against a good pitcher last night, and they're not a very good offense, and that's it. I mean, there are things to look at you can be happy with. I think Cameron being the biggest. I wish they would have left him in. Most of the time, I've been okay, but last night was not one of those times. I'd have left him in. But he has not been very good in his last four starts. He's had one out of the, or it's, is it five out of six? It's one time in his last handful that he's been good. Every other time he's been pretty rocky. So I'm not sure what they saw that at 80 pitches made them think they needed to get away from it. I don't know. And then, yeah, you're right on the bullpen. Zerpa gave up some runs. Zerpa, we all have a little memory of early in the year, but the reality is going into last night, in his last 23 appearances, he gave up a run three times. So he's actually been pretty good. But hang tight on that, because three of the last four times have been in his last six outings. So he went great. Now in four of his last six, he's given up runs too. So there's nuance here, and it's tough for Quatraro because of the offense. Like you said, like you just can't make any mistakes with your decisions, because you're getting no cushion for error at all.
Yeah, I mean, they're walking a tightrope and playing with fire. They do it all the time. They've done it all season long. And it's one thing when they're pitching, and I'm talking about the entire pitching staff, their rotation and their bullpen are both pitching at the very top of their games, and they're not making mistakes. And you've got your starters that are going into the sixth or seventh inning and not giving up any runs and turning it over to the back end of the bullpen, or even when they need to bridge it to the back end of the bullpen, they're getting those guys, the middle relievers, are getting the job done and turning things over to Urcig and Estevez. But there's no room for error, as you mentioned, at all, because they have not been able to show that they can put up any kind of run support for these guys. And middle relievers, whether you're talking about Schreiber or Zerpa or middle relievers in general across Major League Baseball, are not perfect. They're not. If they were much more nailed, then they would be in the back end of the bullpen for whatever team they pitch for. Like a guy that comes in the fifth or sixth inning, if he was just stellar every single time out, you probably wouldn't see him in the fifth or sixth inning. You'd probably see him in the eighth or ninth. And so you just have to kind of understand that when you go to middle relievers, that they're not going to be perfect. That they're not your most elite arms out of the pen. By and large, there are exceptions to that, but usually that's not the case. I don't blame, like I mentioned, I don't blame Schreiber or Zerpa for the fact that the Royals lost last night. It's the fact that the offense could not, and they've not been able to do it all season long. They're rarely able to pick up their pitching when their pitching is not perfect. And that's the major issue right there for Kansas City and a huge flaw for them. I think what makes this game last night just a backbreaker and so crushing for the Royals is that now their best bet, their best outcome in this series is a series split, and they end up exactly where they were to start it against a team that they're chasing in the wild card race. They're not able to gain any ground on Seattle in the wild card race. And that's what last night's game, you know, that they needed that one to be able to have an opportunity to play tonight and end that four game set, gaining ground on the Mariners in the wild card race. And they're not going to be able to do that. Their best case scenario is that they end this four game set exactly where they started it,
which is much better than ending up 6.5 games back.
It is, but it's an opportunity that's squandered.
Oh, absolutely, it's squandered. This was a good opportunity for them. And the other bad news, if you're a Royals fan, is they go up against another really good pitcher tonight. You know, Wu has been fantastic, like Gilbert is fantastic. And not Gilbert. I keep saying Gilbert. Last night it was not Gilbert. It was the other one that I always get. Oh, no, it was Gilbert. Yeah, Gilbert. Kirby, yeah, is who they play in the other one. Gilbert's generally really good. Kirby's getting better. It's just Seattle can pitch, and that's a nightmare for the Royals, is to go up against good pitching, because they can't hit anyway. And now they got to try. If they don't, 6.5 games back, you've got, at 6.5 games back, you will have five teams ahead of you just to get into the third spot, right? So there's a lot. I mean, there's as much pressure on this single game as there has been all year for any single game for the Royals. It is heavy for them tonight.
And I'll tell you right now, tonight's game, I don't care who's pitching for the Royals. If they go to the bullpen at whatever point in the game, whoever they end up throwing from start to finish in this game tonight, I do not want to see Randy or Rosarena get a single pitch in this game. Like, that dude is just insane. He's been on fire this series. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm in my head internally. You and I are hanging out last night. The game's on in the background. And I didn't verbally express it, but internally I'm screaming when a Rosarena hits that home run, stop pitching to him. Like, right now, at least in this series, do not give him anything to hit, because if you do, he's going to put it over the outfield fence.
Gonna make you pay. It's gonna make you pay. It's an extra late night game tonight too. 9 o'clock start. We've had 8:40s, which have been a little more bearable. 9 o'clock tonight. So here's something else that's sort of happening. If you look at the wild card standings right now, you're starting to see a little bit of the separation. I think what's really interesting is, and I don't, let me look and see if this is happening in the National League too. It is. So in both the American League and the National League, and this may be, this is not good news if you're a Royals fan. In both leagues now, what you're seeing, and it's been this way, it looks like in the National League, but in the American League especially, it like run differential. We talk about run differential, and there can be outliers in run differential, but generally speaking, it's a good bird's eye way to know how good or bad a team is. Have you basically scored more runs than you've allowed all year? The teams in the green are now almost, with the exception of Boston, who is sort of, I feel like they're kind of an outlier because they're kind of raising the white flag to some degree. But otherwise, all the teams with a positive run differential are climbing to the top, and all the teams with a negative run differential are making their way down. And those little outliers are starting to sort themselves out. Well, the Royals have a negative run differential this year. And it, unless something wakes up with the offense, it's just I don't think it can happen. Like, there's not going to be any way, unless these guys that they have currently do something they haven't done all of this year and even at the end of last year. And so it's starting to loom really, really large on the Royals.
Well, and I think the word that you used a few minutes ago was the word cushion. And there are rarely opportunities for the Royals to have any kind of cushion. And by that, we mean a lead of substance. You go back to Tuesday night's game for the Royals, and they get out to an early lead. And then they're able to actually score some runs, and the Mariners chip into that a little bit. And I'm like, man, there goes that cushion that the Royals had. They had it for a little while, and then it kind of went away. And they were able to hang on and win, and they got a good and much-needed insurance run late in the game. So it was a little bit of a cushion for the Royals. But those situations are few and far between. They don't happen frequently for the Royals, where you end up with a 3-run win or a 4-run win. Like, those, if you go back and look, especially over the last month and a half, I'm off the top of my head, I'm thinking of like maybe 2 or 3 games where they've actually been able to win with a relatively large cushion. And by that, a couple of runs. It's either they're losing or they're winning by the skin of their teeth. And when they were going through that hot streak at the beginning of the season, they didn't have any cushion then either, but they were winning those games by the skin of their teeth. They were finding ways to get it done and make it happen on the backs of their pitching. The pitching has come back down to earth, and we have not seen the offense come alive. And so that's where that run differential comes into play, where, it's not surprising to me whatsoever that the Royals' run differential is not positive. It's not good, because they're not playing games with any kind of cushion whatsoever. They're not able to win by multiple runs. It rarely happens.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem possible right now for them to do what they're going to need to do. Right? It doesn't seem possible, but it's not impossible.
It's going to take something from the Royals that we haven't seen all season. And that's what makes it difficult for me to be overly optimistic that they're going to be able to pull themselves out of this, because it'd be one thing if we could point at a way that they played earlier in the season and say they did it before, they can do it again. I know they had a hot streak, but it's extremely unlikely that the way that they were 16-4 in those 20 games, that they can replicate that and do it again. Because again, it was on the backs of absolutely incredible starting pitching that they're not going to be able to replicate.
No,
later
not, not like that.
There's nothing that you can point to previously that can say, look at what they did then. Like, they can do that again. They're going to win a bunch of games and get hot. We haven't seen them be able to do anything that I think is able to be replicated later this season. I just have a hard time buying that.
There's not. No, they'll have to do something they haven't done all year. It's a good point. What they did, even in that hot streak, was not going to be good enough now, because the offense was just as bad then as it is now. If you were looking for tangible things, it would be like that would make a massive positive difference over what we've seen. It would be that Jack Caglione catches fire and finds a groove. That's probably the biggest thing I would imagine, which is totally unfair. And I don't even think that's like the main thing we need to be looking for. I'm just thinking of things that could happen that do this. A trade for a player that comes in and infuses some clutch or some power could make a huge difference. But even the good offensive players they have are not necessarily individually underperforming all that much. So, unless you want to say Bobby Wood Jr. needs to hit more home runs, which okay, I guess that's true. But Bobby Wood Jr. is still doing historic things. They put up the graphic last night: fastest player ever to, I think it was 10 home runs, 20 doubles, and 30 stolen bases, or whatever it is. Like, he's still incredible. He's not the starter of the All-Star team, barely. He's going to be an All-Star, and he should be. And so, I don't know. And Vinny Pasquantino has been what Vinny Pasquantino is always going to be. Mikel Garcia is having the best season he's ever had. If this becomes the player he's going to be, it's great. And Salvador Perez is starting to hit again. So, Jonathan India hasn't been that good. So maybe you look there, I suppose. It's just not – there's not a lot of – I don't know what it's going to be. I really don't. It's one of the more confusing offenses that is so nuanced to the struggles that I don't think we could ever – I've seen stuff about how they struggle hitting fastballs. I mean, we're talking like stuff that's not going to change in the middle of a season. Like, you'd have to go foundational and change some of this stuff and change approaches in the offseason and all of those things. But to just – have it be better this year is really hard. It's hard to find where that's even possible.
I think it's fair to say that it's collective. It's not individual. It's collective. And I'm beating a dead horse here a little bit because I brought it up before. Make a change with your hitting coach. If it has to do with your approaches, if it has to do collectively.
Really not going to change even if you did. We've got All-Star games. No Royals in the starters. And I don't think there's anything egregious here. I mean, the one is Bobby Witt Jr. that you could look at, but Jacob Wilson's been fantastic for the A's. It's a good story. Otherwise, I think this is all fine. Cal Raleigh, the catcher, was a no-brainer. The big dumper. He is having a season, man. Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Gleyber Torres, Jose Ramirez, and then Aaron Judge, Riley Green, and Javi Baez in the outfield. There's a Tigers flair there in the outfield. You could look potentially there. How about Ryan O'Hearn as the starter? Isn't that wild?
Yeah, that guy has had just a career blossoming in Baltimore. I remember when Royals fans couldn't wait to get that guy out of Kansas City because he didn't produce anywhere close to what he's doing for the Orioles. And I felt like at the time, the Royals were just really, really bad in general, and O'Hearn was one of those members of the team that wasn't really producing and was kind of in a platoon role with Kansas City, and people were clamoring to get him out of town, and he's in Baltimore now, and he has shown that he can absolutely produce. And I saw his name as one of the starters, and I'm like, man, that guy didn't do anything for Kansas City, and now he's raking for Baltimore and is an All-Star starter.
Yeah, and it's relative. He's having his best year right now, but I would say he was slightly below average in Kansas City. and he's been slightly above average in Baltimore for the most part. But this year in particular, he is having a really nice start to the season. His best start ever. He's hitting almost 300. His OPS is pretty high. He's been doing a nice job. It's not one of those, like, I cannot believe the Royals ever let him go, because, you know, he's been okay. What's the difference between Ryan O'Hearn and Vinny Pasquantino, basically? Probably not much. But good for him. I'm very happy for him, because he always seemed like a highly regarded player by the organization, even while he was there. Nothing too surprising in the National League. Did you see Clayton Kershaw last night? Got his 3,000th strikeout. When you are just like thinking about it, is he the best of this generation? My bigger question is, because I agree with that, is sort of how far back does it go? Like, who is included in that conversation, this quote unquote generation of starting pitchers?
Oh, that's a really good question. You know, Scherzer has got to be in that conversation.
Verlander, probably.
Verlander's in that conversation. DeGrom, maybe. Yeah. Although DeGrom's been hurt a lot over the course of his career.
He's probably better than all of them when he's healthy.
Yeah. That's the list, I would say, in this generation. You could probably, going back a little bit further, you could put Zach Greinke in that conversation. I would say one of the things about Kershaw is that by and large in his career, he's been pretty durable. I know that there have been a couple times, you know, even recently, the older he's gotten, where he's had IL stints and not pitched and that sort of thing. But you don't get to that strikeout mark without having longevity in your career. There's a reason why there's only a handful of pitchers and none in the last, 25 years that have accomplished what Kershaw has, because pitchers, their shelf life does not last nearly as long nowadays as it used to. And so it's much, much, much rarer to see what Clayton Kershaw is doing and has done than 25, 30, 40 years ago. So I think it makes it that much more impressive.
I'll give you a couple more just to sort of go through who's like still doing it. Verlander is your longevity play. Like, he's the guy that's been able to pile it up because he's been durable. He's been around forever. He's got two more seasons than Kershaw, and he's got, you know, quite a few more innings pitched, whatever. Scherzer, on like a per season basis, is even a better strikeout artist probably than Kershaw, righty lefty, right? So I think those are the other two mostly in the conversation. I would say Greinke is not this generation. I would classify Greinke as the last generation. Chris Sale is way up there, if you can believe that. Yeah. And he's only had 15 seasons. So he could still enter the. And I don't know that we've ever really thought of Chris Sale in the same light we've thought of Clayton Kershaw. But the reality is, I'm just looking at strikeouts. Kershaw is so good at everything, right? He's not necessarily just a strikeout guy. But other guys that are of interest, I think. So if it's Kershaw, Scherzer, and Verlander of the old guys, I think that's the correct grouping. I think DeGrom is the outlier because he's 37, but he's been hurt so much. But just on a per-season basis, he honestly might be better than all of them. And then that next generation gets really interesting. Like, Garrett Cole's in there probably, and I know he's hurt right now. I think you got to put Zach Wheeler at this point in there with what he's done in the last few years.
Corbin Burns, I think you probably put him in.
Yeah. Yep. Corbin Burns is up there. There are a lot of strikeout guys that you would never think of that way either, of the younger ones, like Kevin Gausman. And by thinking of Kevin Gausman that way, he's pretty good, but like, we're not, you know,
he's been around forever and
he's only pitched 13 seasons.
Yeah.
He's only, you know, which is a long time. But when we're talking about some of these dudes who are getting up to like 18 and 20 seasons, like Charlie Morton.
Yeah.
Has been around for 18 seasons.
Isn't Charlie Morton older than you and I? That's always been the benchmark.
He's 4 years older than Clayton Kershaw.
That's always been the benchmark for me, on a side note, in any kind of, you know, sports, when I'm looking at players, like, are they older than me? Are they younger than me? And of course, the older I get, the harder that is to accomplish. So I always tip my cap at this point in my life. I'm 39. for players that are older than me that are still doing it. And Charlie Morton is a guy that, I mean, he has been absolutely terrible for the Orioles this year. But before that, he had a couple of pretty good seasons for the Braves, and I know they really appreciated him. He's been around the league forever.
So let's go to WAR then next. Verlander, if you go by WAR, Verlander is the highest, followed by Kershaw and then Scherzer. So those are your three. Those are your three modern day Hall of Famers. Yeah, how about this? We were talking about DeGrom. DeGrom is the next guy on the list with all the injuries. And remember, you got to like play to acquire WAR. He's next on the list with all of the injuries he's had and everything else. He is that high.
I think that's why teams have still coveted him, even though they know he comes with a pretty large injury risk. It's a risk reward type thing for these teams to have DeGrom on their roster when he's healthy. The WAR is outstanding.
He's pitching out of his mind this year.
He's better when healthy than anybody else in Major League Baseball.
I think you could make the case for it. I do. I mean, he's been really, really, really good this year. 2.13 ERA for the Rangers. He's so good. He's fun to watch too.
Didn't he almost had a no-hitter, didn't he? Just a couple weeks ago. Yeah.
But I don't also want to take anything away from Gerrit Cole, who we've sort of forgotten about. Gerrit Cole, Tommy, is 3 years younger than DeGrom and almost has matched his WAR. So he's dealing with the injury now, but he's a guy that absolutely, if he's able to recover and go another 5-6 years, is going to be in a Hall of Fame conversation. I think Zach Wheeler has gotten to that point. His teammate Aaron Nola is in the top 10 active guys right now, and Aaron Nola, related to all these other guys, is only 32 years old. So he's had a kind of a renaissance the last couple of years. You know, he started really good and then he had a couple rocky years and now he's kind of on a trajectory there too. I think they've got a chance. You Darvish, there was a guy, I guess, in the last couple of days who's famously come up with a Hall of Pretty Good for baseball, which has created all kinds of fun, like online debate and everything. That's probably where you Darvish would end up.
I saw somebody call it the Hall of Fine, not the Hall of Fame, the Hall of Fine.
Yeah, it's all fine. But I would say like, Yu Darvish is better than fine. Yu Darvish had a really nice major league career, but he's 38 years old, so he's never going to get there. So if we're looking at the maybe Hall of Famers, Verlander, Kershaw, and Scherzer will be yeses. I think DeGrom will be a yes. It's Sale, Cole, Wheeler. I think we can still entertain the conversation with Nola. And that's probably it of that next rung. And then there's younger guys, of course, who absolutely could get into the mix. But of that next wave after those three old dogs get there, those are kind of the guys. It's so weird. Pitchers in Hall of Fame is so weird now because of the way that they're used. Like you can't, even more than any other position in baseball, like you just can't compare it to what it used to be. Like you can't, there's no benchmark for it. Let's quickly, real quick, before we take a break, Dave, you've been holding there. I just saw it. Dave, welcome in. You got about 90 seconds here. What's on your mind?
Okay. Well, I just have a quick question, a suggestion. Would you explain how the WAR statistic is calculated? I've had discussions with my buddies. I don't get it. It seems highly subjective to me, and I don't know how you figure that out. So,
well,
quick explanation on that. And I just one other suggestion. Someday when the wind surge is in town, I think it'd be fun to talk to an umpire on the minor league level and how they get there and the school and how they travel and what their day's like. I think it'd be interesting to hear one of those, how their life goes as a minor league umpire.
Noted, Dave. Appreciate that. Thanks for joining us here on Sports Daily.
But I'll listen off there about the WAR conversation. Thank you.
Yeah, so WAR... It's like, how many more wins is that player worth? There is a mathematical formula for it, and everybody does it a little different.
Yeah, so it's kind of any available player, like the average player that is available to your team at that position, how much more is your player worth than the average guy that you could get to replace him? And you're right, there is a mathematical equation. I'm not a smart enough guy to be able to calculate it and figure it out.
It's kind of like quarterback rating. It's just a nice benchmark, honestly, to use. We got to take a quick break. We'll come back. Maybe we'll discuss a little further on the other side. Don't go away. More Sports Daily right after.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster with you. We are getting ready for another hour here on the program. Tim Fitzgerald will join us a little later in the show, our K-State insider. Could jump back to the Royals. We may bounce around the headlines a little bit. Start talking a little football. We'll dig in. We've talked a lot of Chiefs, but maybe it's time for us to look at some teams and some win totals and some bets and some things that we haven't really done yet this offseason as we make our way into training camps. But we've got it in store for you. Your ways to get in touch with the program or to call 869-1240. That is one way. You can also get in touch with us through our video streams. You can message us through Facebook, YouTube, or X. You can send us direct tweets or X's on the X platform, or you can watch us here on 12 News Connected and get in touch with us. Also on the Odyssey app, where you can leave us voice messages. It's all available for you. It's all What's on Tap, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company, which is offering for the rest of this week, $4 beers from July 2nd through the 6th. It's celebrating the 4th with Wichita Brewing Company, all three brew pubs. A great idea for entertaining out-of-town visitors. Wichita Brewing Company, $4 beers on, every day now until July 6th. I talked to my wife. We're going to get in there at some point over the next few days. This is the, for us, this is like, we're going to be eating out a lot over the next few days. I was like, well, we got to get into Wichita Brewing Company. I did $4 beers and some pizza. Bring it. Bring it. We appreciate them. All right. Tommy, we can continue that conversation. So caller Dave asked us right before, how is WAR calculated? WAR is like, it's kind of like quarterback rating. I think it's a nice tool. I think it's good when we're trying to compare generational stuff. Like if we're having the discussions on, you know, all time or comparing one versus the other, but I don't think it's everything. I still think there are values in a lot of the numbers, a set number of home runs. And I know that makes like real analytical people roll their eyes a little bit, but you have to be able to like have fun and be nostalgic with some of this stuff too. Like getting to 3,000 strikeouts means a lot more than having 2,999 strikeouts last night for Clayton Kershaw.
Yeah, it's a milestone, no doubt about it, for Clayton Kershaw. I know this is oversimplifying WAR, and I know this is not the way that they calculate it, but the best way for me to wrap my head around it is if let's just take the catcher position, for example. If you take all of the catchers in Major League Baseball, all of the starting catchers, and you average out everybody's production, so you've got the average batting average, the average home runs, average hits, average RBIs, all of that. How does your player, the one that you had that you're trying to measure this statistic against, how does he, how are his stats reflected compared to the average of everybody doing it in the league at that moment? And again, I know that's not exactly the calculation. I know that's not the way that they calculate it, but that for my simple mind, that's kind of how I wrap my head around wins above replacement, because at that point, you're basically comparing an individual player against the benchmark of his peers at that position that play that position, regularly, like the guy that you're comparing him against.
Yeah. It can be like, there are people that take it more literal, which is fine. It's like, how many wins is that player worth? Like how many wins is that player adding to your total win total by the end of the year? There are people that really do like take that very literally. I don't think you have to think of it that way though. On the best thing I can ever say is think about it like quarterback rating. Is it the greatest stat in the history of the world? No, but it generally tells you who good players are. And then you can dig in a little further on your own and take the nuance into it, right? Like now you can take it and be nuanced with why you think X, Y, Z. And because if you're just looking at WAR, you're not considering things like, well, what if a player was hurt? What if a player was on, you know, I think it helps too with players that are on bad teams, really like try to quantify their values because they're on bad teams. They may not have the opportunities for RBIs as much as players on a good team, or to score runs as much as players on a good team. Or maybe they don't have the same kind of protection in the lineup as a player on a good team. Like all of that stuff matters. So it's just one of the tools, I think, when we look at it, but I'm glad it's there. mean, I'm glad smart people have developed this. We have baseball is the most stat driven sport to me. Like, it's the one we pay attention to the stats absolutely the most. And as much as I get annoyed that baseball has been so resistant to change when it comes to the rules of the game, it does allow us, statistically speaking, to compare things better than the other sports, right? The NFL, you can't compare quarterback numbers right now to what it was 30 years ago. They literally are playing a different sport out there sometimes. Like, it's not even close to the same thing. Baseball's generally been the same, with the exception of the shift band lately. Like, that's pretty much it. Like, they haven't really changed anything else in 150 years. So war is a nice tool. Like, when we look at it, we can legitimately say, like, what was Babe Ruth's war? And people can figure that out. And that gives us a pretty good idea. And it's like, okay, that helps understand it.
It also helps. We talked about Clayton Kershaw and milestones, but it also helps when you are, you mentioned Babe Ruth, when you are trying to figure out where a certain player stands, not only among his peers, but historically. And war, I think, is a really good benchmark for a player like Aaron Judge when you're comparing him historically against guys like Babe Ruth and Joe DiMaggio and Mickey Mantle and, you know, some of these other all-time greats. How does he stack up? Or even going back to the 90s and early 2000s, how does Aaron Judge stack up from a war perspective against players like Barry Bonds and Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa in the steroid era? And so that, I think that stat has allowed people to be able to quantify a little bit more from a historical perspective through a historical lens. How do players in today's generation, how would they stack up against guys from even 100 years ago?
Yeah, I agree. And again, like, we can't really, you can't really do it, right? How do you compare Joe Namath and Tom Brady? There's not a real good way to do that. Not just because numbers are inflated, they play different amount of games, like all of these things. Like, baseball's our best chance to compare generationally. It's not perfect, obviously. I mean, Babe Ruth got to play in the major leagues of his generation. I would say his war, if he played today, probably would be a little bit lower if you took the very same Babe Ruth and planted him in today. But then how do you factor in the fact that Babe Ruth would have access to the tools and, you know, things that players now have access and tools to? So it's impossible anyway, but at least we have it now. We were just having a discussion about, like, who are the guys that are likely going into the Hall of Fame. And you know what the quickest way to sort that through would be? Is war. You just type in active war leaders and look, you there. The best guys all kind of filter up to the top. So you can just sort of trust it a little bit. If you're like me, don't worry about the calculation. I mean, I'm glad people came up with it. I'll take the end result, and then I'll let it help me make some calls. Yeah, Clayton Kershaw, did you see the reaction from his family? It's just so
good. I did. So good. I love it. I think why I love it so much, I'm not a Dodgers guy and I'm not a Clayton Kershaw guy, but what I love it so much is that he is an outlier in the way that pitchers pitch today in 2025. You don't see pitchers, I mentioned it in the last segment, with the shelf life that Kershaw has had, with the durability, with just the longevity of his career. And there are a couple of others too, but, like, by and large, you see pitchers that are flashes in the pan that are around for a handful of years. They blow their arm out, or they're not used, you know, the way that they should be. And then they don't have a long, prosperous career. And so whenever you see a pitcher in today's game be able to throw the number of strikeouts that he did, hit that milestone, be with the same team for a long time, his entire career, I think that is something to be celebrated.
Yeah, it is. He's one of the all-time greats, and I'm glad we have him in the game today. All right, when we come back, let's just take a – we haven't done this yet, and I'm springing this on you, but it's been on my mind for a while, and I feel like today's probably a pretty good day to do it as we get to Tim Fitzgerald. Let's look at the win totals right now in the NFL, season win totals, and just sort of – like, what screams at us and jumps off the page? Like, what are some of the, either good or bad, like, what are some of the most egregious win totals where we think there is value one way or the other. Let's do that for the NFL. We have not, I don't even think we've looked at that specific thing for the Chiefs very much this year. So we can take it to the Chiefs. They are not alone in where their number is. I'll say that as a little teaser. But they are as high as anybody, and there are a handful of teams that are right there with them. But we'll look at some of the low ones that we feel like are too low. We'll look at some of the high ones that we feel like are too high. It'll be a fun little July 3rd exercise as we have gotten away from all the non-mandatory working before we get into training camp. That'll be next on Sports Daily. Tim Fitzgerald later this hour. Stick around. We're coming right back.
The temperature's rising outside, but you can stay cool and comfortable inside with Blinds.com. Don't miss Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale happening now. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, and no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com makes it easy. Our virtual design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for total convenience, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Don't miss Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale happening now. Save up to 50%, plus get a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily here. Boy, just looking at this stuff, Tommy, this is going to be an interesting exercise. I have not dug in yet. Usually, immediately following the July 4th holiday weekend or whenever it falls is when I really start to dig in and dial in to NFL stuff. And like, you know, maybe it's like getting ready for fantasy football or whatever, where I start really deep diving rosters and doing all that stuff. And I'm having to try to do this a little bit earlier because probably tomorrow when it's a national shift, we've got 4 hours there and we're going to need to talk some NFL. So maybe this is a little appetizer to find a handful of these that I can dig into in the next 24 hours or so. But we're going to look at the win totals out right now. And are there any screaming values one way or the other on these? Before we do that, if you want to win some HTO, you can do that right now. Just text the keyword T to the short code 20357. You can enter this once per day. Message and data rates apply. It will get you a free cup of iced tea from either East Wichita, West Wichita, or in Derby. And you'll get that free cup of tea. Go inside. Talked to a couple coworkers who went in for the first time, and it's always the same. Like, man, I was very different than I thought. Go inside. You try them all for free. Find your favorite flavor and then get a free cup on us here at Sports Daily. Again, that's T20357. Good luck, everybody. It's featuring two gallons for $10, by the way, today and tomorrow still. So if you're looking for beverages for the 4th of July, a nice deal there. 2 gallons, $10 while you're in there as well. All right, Tommy, we look at this. The Chiefs, let's start with the Chiefs. I don't think the Chiefs are a screaming value one way or the other. Their win total is at 11.5. Now, if you think, oh, they won 15 games last year, no team is more than an 11.5 right now. The four teams that are at 11.5 are the Bills, the Eagles, the Chiefs, and the Ravens. I'm not sure. As much as I think the Chiefs are going to be great, as much as I very much envision myself putting them through the AFC again this year, although we're not even close to making those sorts of predictions, I'm not sure that from a betting angle or anything else, just because I think the division will be a little better than it was a year ago and a little better than it has been in a while. That's what makes 12 wins a little tricky for me. You know, like you look at the Bills, maybe, who play in a much worse division, might be a better opportunity if you were going to take that. I wouldn't do it with the Ravens because of the division they play in. And I probably wouldn't do it with the Eagles because of the division they play in either. But that's why those numbers, I would imagine, are not higher than you might think.
I mean, I really like the Bills over total. I think out of all of them, I think that's probably the one that I like the most.
They're probably my favorite.
And I think it's honestly because a year ago, I was of the belief and in the camp that the Bills were going to be going through some rebuilding and that it was going to take a little bit of time for them to really start to gel with their new look offense. And they replaced a bunch of players on the defensive side of the ball. I thought it would take some time for things to come together, and it didn't. Like, they were winning games right off the bat, and it's a testament to Josh Allen and who he is as a quarterback. So now you've got 1 year in this kind of new look Bills team under their belt. By and large, the team is the same going into this year as last year, and just another season with more familiarity with everybody. And so I really like the Bills over total on this. I think they're going to be the main challenger in the AFC to the Chiefs.
So I don't know that I really like it, but of the four, I like it the most. Do you really like it individually? Like, that is that one you'd look at, or are we just
that's talking? That's one I would look at. I mean, I like that one just by itself. Yeah. And by default, because of that, out of the four, I like it the best out of the four.
So if we look at that division, the Dolphins are at 6.5 wins. The Jets are at 5.5 wins, and the Patriots are at 8.5 wins. There's one for you that should probably ring some alarms. I guess that's the Mike Vrabel effect. We can get to them in a minute. I think that's probably too high. But that's a part of it. But I'll give you my favorite of any, and you might roll your eyes at this, and this is why I don't necessarily like the Eagles at 11.5. Tommy, the Cowboys are at 7.5. We really don't think the Cowboys are going to win 8 games this year with Dak Prescott back healthy. with a healthy Dak Prescott, when was the last time the Cowboys didn't win 8 games? You know what I mean? Like, there is no history behind that at all for them to be an 8-win team with a healthy Dak Prescott. And they just added George Pickens. Like, they did get better this offseason, I think. They probably got their line a little bit better. Like, that's the one to me more than any team. And I know I'm a Cowboys fan, you know, off the air and everything. Like, I can't believe theirs is that low. And that's not Rose. I can't tell you the last time I liked any Cowboys bet.
What do you think the rationale is behind that line? I mean, is it that, you know, nobody knows what Brian Schottenheimer is going to bring as a NFL head coach? I mean, is that being taken into account as a little bit of hesitancy because he's never done this before, and who knows if he's going to be able to deliver wins? I think that's about the only thing I can point at to be a reason as to why that win total is so low.
I got to tell you, the vibe there with him this summer has been very good. He didn't excite me necessarily, but it wasn't anything against. Just didn't know anything about him. So here's Dak Prescott. Let's go back to 2016. Okay, in his healthy seasons, he played. Only 2 times last year, he didn't play enough games basically to get to 8 wins. And in 2020, his other big injury year, he didn't play enough games to get to 8 wins. I'm going to leave 2022 in when he only played 12 games because he got to 8 wins. Tommy, other than the 2 years he's gotten hurt, Dak Prescott has won 8 games. And again, their win total right now in Vegas is at 7.5. Every single year that he has been a starting quarterback, every year of his career, he's won at least 8 games, including one when he only started 12 games because of injury. I can't figure it out. And the roster offensively is as good as it's ever been for him. I don't see it, man. That's the one that screams at me, and I can't figure it out. I know their defense also has a lot of questions. It probably also has something to do with where Washington is and Philadelphia is, and I get that. But I think Washington's the best candidate to regress this year in the NFL.
Really? Because I love their over total. They're at 9.5.
And I know they've made a lot of moves. I don't know what it is. That one's not logical for me. It's not at all. Like, logically, if Jaden Daniels takes the next step and they added to the roster, I just keep thinking about the Texans and how they maybe shot a little high and then the air came out of the balloon a little bit and it took them a second to sort of catch back up. I could kind of see that with the commit, because they really were just out of nowhere on that.
I'm going to give you another team that, as far as the win-loss record for the over is concerned, that I love. It's the Steelers. I mean, right now they're at 8.5. Do we really think that Aaron Rodgers can't lead the Steelers to more than 8.5 wins? I think that he absolutely can. Are they going to be a Super Bowl contender? No, I don't think so. But I certainly think that they can have a winning record this year. And even away from Aaron Rodgers, Mike Tomlin doesn't have losing records. Like, that's just not what they do. So literally all they have to do to hit that total, to hit that over, is to wait to go 9-8. They just have to go 9-8. Yeah. They have to have a winning record. That's it. And they'll hit that because it's at 8.5 right now. So I really like that one too.
I think the interesting division right now as a whole, let me give you one under before I do that. An under that I really like is the Jags, 7.5. I got a hard time thinking the Jags are going to win more than 7 games this year. Division might help them a little bit there. It's good. You know, they get to play the Colts, who are in that same range a couple of times. They get to play the Titans, who are kind of rebuilding a couple of times. So they could maybe, because of that, kind of slide around in there. But man, I don't know where that improvement for them is going to come. Are there any others that you like the under on? Unders are always harder.
A couple, and they're both in the Chiefs division. I think both the Chargers and the Broncos. I don't think I'm going to
You're right.
Broncos. I don't think I'm going to make those bets.
I like the unders on the Broncos.
And I think the Chargers are at 9.5. So are the Broncos. They're both at 9.5. I think out of the two, the Chargers have a better chance of going over, but still, I don't love the overs on either one of them. And really for the Broncos, I think that they're, you want to talk about regression. It's kind of that same thing with Jaden Daniels. Like, I could see Bo Nix taking a step back this year and the Broncos could go under.
They both have great coaches, which could, you know, not that I don't, I think, you know, there are great coaches all over the place. But yeah, I'm with you on the Broncos. I'm glad you said that.
I also, one other one. I also like the under on the Vikings, and that's
really,
that's only because they're at 8.5. That's only because we don't know about JJ McCarthy. Like, it's a complete unknown.
We're seeing, like, how many rookie quarterbacks, which is essentially what he'll be, have been great lately.
And how
they,
many
they are been so mediocre, talented. Right? They're so talented. Look at what Sam Darnold did with that roster last year. And that quarterback coach, by the way, head coach who is a quarterback guru. I don't know about that one. Now, if he's not healthy, that's one thing. But that's the division I was going to point at. So right now in that division, you've got the Lions at 10.5, which feels about right for me. But you've got the Vikings, the Bears at 8.5, and the Packers at 9.5. I would tell you that I think the Packers under of those teams would probably be my lean. Chicago, remember, Chicago did all this stuff and they brought in Ben Johnson. Chicago's a real, real wild card. Chicago has done, like, right there with Washington, the most, like, headliney stuff this offseason. So they're interesting. And yeah, the Vikings are so flipping talented on both sides of the ball. And I'm going to have our guy Reggie Wilson, who used to work at Kiwich, who's in Minnesota now doing that. I'm going to have him on tomorrow on Infinity to sort of talk about the Vikings, because they've been, to me, the last like three off seasons, they have been one of the most fascinating wild card teams of like the possibility of outcomes are all over the place. I've always been a little fond of this particular group of players for them. So I could absolutely be, I suppose a little bit biased in that, but I love their roster. And I thought J.J. McCarthy was one of my favorite prospects in that class. So I got to be kind of in on the
Vikings. We just don't know. I mean, there's literally no unknown. There's no body of work for him as a NFL quarterback at this point. And, you know, that's a tough deal when you come in as a rookie and then you miss your entire rookie season with an injury, coming back and having to figure out your way through things, never having done it before. That's the only reason why I say with the Vikings that I'm not sure that they're going to hit that over.
Yeah. They're right on the line for me for sure. Atlanta's right on the line. I think that's a pretty interesting team. Seattle is at 7.5. That's another interesting under to me. They're another team I'm having a real hard time grasping what to make of, and our old friend Ariel Orsudo is going to join me tomorrow too to talk about them. Like, what is Sam Darnold? Like, what's the expectation there? They traded away DK Metcalf. I know they have Jaxon Smith-Njigba, but Tyler Lockett's kind of old now. Like, they've gone through a lot of changes. And the problem for me with them is I'm really high on the Rams this year. I think the 49ers are a bounce back candidate in a huge way. And Arizona is one of my kind of dark horsey teams to make a run that we're not expecting, although Vegas expects it clearly. Their win total is at 8.5. So I'm not the only one with Arizona, but that's the division Seattle has to play in. They, to me, seem like the odd man out in that division.
Well, I think a big reason why their total is where it is because I think people are expecting that Sam Darnold can replicate what he did in Minnesota a season ago. Well, and it's not even on him. He doesn't have the roster in Seattle that he had in Minnesota.
There's no chance.
Like, if he plays as good as he did, just for individually speaking, for Seattle, as he did with the Vikings last year, that still won't be enough because he doesn't have the talent around him. I mean, you're going from Justin Jefferson to Tyler Lockett, essentially, at that point.
Jaxon Smith-Njigba, no offense to Jaxon Smith.
Well, actually, Tyler Lockett's not even on the team anymore.
He's
not even there, right? So he's out. So you've got JSN. That's mainly who you've got, you know, as a weapon.
You had Addison and Hockenson.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Toward the end of the year, you had all these weapons. But I'm telling you, man, like, this Cowboys one is throwing me. The Cowboys and the Jaguars have the same win total right now. What am I missing? You tell me, like, what am I missing with the Cowboys? Because, and I've told you this before too, they're my favorite long odds, like super, their Super Bowl odds are like 60-1. They're my favorite long odds bet too. And I almost never, and I'll never make any of these bets, by the way. I don't have the patience. Well, I might make long odds Super Bowl bets. I hate over under bets because it takes forever to see your return and injuries play such a big part of it.
Yeah, I think that there are two main similarities between the Cowboys and the Jags, which probably has to do with why their win totals are about the same. They both have quarterbacks that have been okay to good between Trevor Lawrence and Dak Prescott, but neither one has gotten that team over the hump.
Good.
I'm just saying, but like classifying them, like they're both, neither one of them have gotten their teams over the hump to the promised land, right? Like that's one thing that Dak Prescott and Trevor Lawrence have in common. They both also have two, they each have a rookie quarter or rookie head coach coming in this year in Brian Schottenheimer and Liam Cohen. And so I think that unknown with plus two quarterbacks that have not gotten their teams over the hump all the way, that's probably a reason why you've got win totals where they are for both of those teams.
I'm not a Dak Prescott apologist. I think Dak Prescott is good. I think he's above average. I think what really makes it, like, for me, and I don't think that they should have given him the second big contract. I think that was a mistake and all of these things, but his full season last year, he didn't get to play enough. 2023, Tom, I think, what did he finish? Second or third in the MVP? He was incredible in 2023. Like, Trevor Lawrence has never sniffed some of Dak Prescott's best seasons in the NFL. Like, not even close, I don't think. So, I don't know. I think
they end up being put in the same category because they are high-profile quarterbacks that have not gotten their teams all the way.
Or just any of the way, right? Like, any of the way, not even close. Trevor Lawrence is... I'm just looking at, we talked about WAR and quarterback rating. I'm just looking at quarterback rating here. Trevor Lawrence's best quarterback rating season would be Dak Prescott's 7th or 8th best season in his time as a pro. Like, I get Trevor Lawrence, like, the jury is still out on if he's going to be any good. Don't you think? Your jury's not out on whether.
I think the jury's in. I don't think he's going to be any good.
Right.
I
mean, he's only had four seasons, so I'm going to give it a little bit of time still. But yeah, we're getting closer to that. The jury's not out on Dak Prescott being a good NFL quarterback. Of course, he's a good NFL quarterback. He is not in like one of the elites by any means, but you can even like he is whatever the next rung under that group of, you know, Allen, you know, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, whoever you want to put in that very upper echelon. Dak Prescott's right there as good as any of the rest of them. So what does that make him? A top six, top seven, eight quarterback in the league? And he's got these weapons now. I don't know how Pickens fits for them. I told you that when they made the trade. I don't know if that fits Dak's style. But he's a much better player. I think it's honestly the risk of distraction that Micah Parsons is always talking new coach, Jerry Jones can't get it, all of that stuff. That's got to be the only thing. You're telling me the Cowboys can win 8 games next year? Go 8-9? I don't buy that for a second.
And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH. Jake Malbrock, Tommy Caster. We got our buddy Tim Fitzgerald. Go powercat.com. You can follow him on X at Life of Fitz. Fitz, what does July 3rd look like for you this year? For the holiday, we're kind of in a lull. Big 12 media days next week.
Yeah, I mean, it's coming up. We'll be leaving on Monday for Arlington and or Frisco, I guess. I don't know what's happened, guys. The summer is flying by, and it's time for vacation after that, and on to football.
How do you feel about the fact, Fitz, that the Big 12 isn't going to be doing media preseason polls anymore?
You know, I'm not a big preseason poll guy anyhow. I mean, I think it sets I wish there were none. I wish there was no official polls before, like, the fourth or even sixth week of the season, because I think we cement in some things about programs. Hey, they were ranked number three to start. They've lost two straight, so they're 15. While you know a team that wasn't ranked can lose two games and they're nowhere near the poll. I think we cement in too many biases into the rankings from the very jump, but stopping the Big 12 media poll because last year's was so inaccurate is absurd, because it's not like everyone else was predicting Arizona State to win and Utah and Oklahoma State to suck. You know, nobody saw it. The league was chaos, and it was a brand new league. Half the teams had only been in the league one or no years, and I don't think that we had a chance to really figure out how all these teams fit together into a conference and who was going to be better than others. But yeah, we're going to do our own poll at 24/7 for whatever it's worth, just for fun.
Well, I don't totally agree with you on that. I think polls shouldn't have any weight when we're trying to determine, playoff stand, but as fans, and I'm not talking about this preseason poll, I'm with you, it doesn't really matter that much, but that, like the AP top 25, for instance, if we went into week one of the college football season, let's say, and there wasn't an AP top 25, we had no top 25, I legitimately think that would hurt the viewing experience, and it would hurt like the networks to be able to hype up certain games. It may be totally wrong, but I'm of the belief that I'm still glad we have at least a guess at what is a big game.
Yeah, that's a valid point, Jacob. It really is. And probably why we'll never be rid of polls and their influence, because of the marketing aspect of it. Unfortunately, I think it also, if all the voters want to put 10 SEC teams in the top 25, then everyone thinks the SEC is better all season. But maybe they don't end up that way, even close.
Yeah.
We got to talk K-State football a little bit here, Fitz, and really the big development over the last week. Ian Premer doesn't go to Kansas State, doesn't go to Kansas either. He picks Notre Dame over both the in-state schools, and I think Iowa State was the other team that was in the running for him. But he ends up going to Notre Dame, the number one potential player coming out of the state of Kansas. I don't know about you. I was surprised by the Notre Dame selection. I thought that he would have ended up at least at one of the Kansas schools, and it really did look like it was trending K-State towards the end.
Yeah, I think even Notre Dame thought it was trending K-State at the end. I was really surprised, but, being a tight end at Notre Dame is a big deal. I wish him luck. The thing about this now is kids know that if I make this choice, I can undo it. And it didn't used to be that way. There was a weight with choosing a school that if you wanted to transfer, you had to sit out a year. And now kids are just free to say, okay, I'm gonna start with Notre Dame, but maybe that doesn't work and I can just bounce back to somewhere else. I think he's going to thrive at Notre Dame, but if he doesn't, he can always undo his decision, which is kind of a sense of freedom for these young players, and deservedly so. They should be able to move about as they want.
Yeah, I mean, that do you take that as a knock on K-State at all on what they've got? I take it tight ends. I haven't talked to Ian Premer. Notre Dame is a great opportunity. But, man, K-State is going to be loaded at tight end for the next 5 years.
Yeah, and ironically, they didn't really need a tight end in this class. He was just so good they wanted him. Right, yeah. They've got five tight ends that, if you put Lincoln Cure in, that will play this season, and only one of them is a senior. So I think there's a kind of a bottleneck, too, in that tight end room. But, he's a good one, and we'll see if he thrives at Notre Dame. But he also knows he can always come home to one of those three Big 12 institutions and be close to home, because they all wanted him. And he did a marvelous job as keeping his cards close to the vest and not really tipping anyone. And what we thought was going to happen was based on some indications, but it didn't break down that way.
There's an article that came out just a few hours ago from the Topeka Capital Journal that I didn't know about this. I feel like this has kind of been, at least for me, a little bit under the radar, talking about in-state football prospects and how for this year, at least in this recruiting cycle, Kansas State has only landed two of the top 15 prospects. Mm-hmm. State and Kansas has landed 8 of the top 10 and 6 of the top 14. In your opinion, is there anything there, or is that just a kind of a fluky thing that's happened this year?
Yeah, a little bit fluky, but Lance Leipold knew he needed to change the conversation around recruiting in Kansas. So they've applied, you know, some of their, before NIL changed, they applied a lot of that. And we'll see if, you know, spending money solves this problem, but they've done a great job in the state of Kansas, and if money talks, and then it got the job done. I don't think K-State was overly worried. They really didn't like, I don't want to say it that way, they didn't see much in the state that they wanted, but Dunnigan and Premier were definitely those guys, along with those offensive linemen. So they've had great success getting players to go to KU, and we'll see if that pans out in the long run.
Fitz, I want to ask you about Avery Johnson. We were just talking about, you know, some bet stuff. I just kind of started looking at some of that for football. I saw it yesterday come out, the Heisman odds. Arch Manning is a heavy favorite, which seems like a crazy bet to me, but whatever, I get it. Avery Johnson's at 50-1. He'd probably be somewhere in the top 30-ish guys. Do you think there are any, like, how crazy does that seem? Like, talent wise, is there a world where he could put together that kind of season, do you think?
Yeah, I do. I don't know if he's ready to put that together. I think he's going to be better this year, but that might be something to come in his senior season. But if you're really good and you're on a, you know, heck, we had a Boise State running back almost won it last year. So it's there's an opportunity there, but boy, you have to be elite and your team has to basically be undefeated.
Well, we're now at a point where, you know, July 1 has come and gone, and the House settlement has taken effect as far as revenue sharing and all the different changes in college athletics. Are you seeing, I know it's only been a couple of days, but are you seeing any trickle down effect or anything with Kansas State, or any new developments as far as what this House settlement means for college athletics for the university, or is that more down the road?
That's more down the road. And I think it's going to come down to this new college sports commission actually enforcing rules and not just against, you know, the smaller schools. It's the second they hammer an LSU or Tennessee or, you know, one of those schools, Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State, for violation, will be great for college sports. It will be. They have to put some teeth back into the rules, and if they don't, these schools are just going to start cheating, just like they did before the open market of NIL hit, when anyone could spend money, and buying players wasn't illegal, basically. It should have been, but it wasn't. And now it will be again, with the rev share having to be the generator or legitimate NIL opportunities. So I think the cheating is just going to start up again. The under-the-table cash will be flowing again. And if this organization doesn't stop that, we'll be right back to where we were before.
Yeah, we just had Kevin Saul, Wichita State's athletic director, in yesterday. And I brought that, like, I brought up the NIL, like the clearinghouse, like what are the chances it gets challenged? And he admitted, like, it could very easily and probably will get challenged. What do you think with all of this thing? Because this is going to give us a better, probably, runway to what we all want, but it is going to get challenged. Are we, I don't know, 3 years away from the end game in all this? Do you think there is an end game? I still kind of think there is, but how close are we to the end game? This to me feels like a first step, but not the final step.
Yeah. Anytime you're trying to limit what would be viewed as free market, you're going to get court challenges. The problem is, without a collective bargaining and, you know, all that, there's no protections here for the NCAA institutions. They're just setting a rule that limits the amount that can be paid for certain name, image, and likeness endorsements. It has to be real name, image, and likeness, you know, selling that off to a company, not just cash. I don't know how they're going to regulate it, guys. I don't know. What's the value of something in Kansas as opposed to South Florida? Is it the same value? It doesn't make sense to me. It would be, but it should be. I mean, I don't know. It's crazy. I don't know how this is going to work. I don't see any possible way this is going to work.
I see a possible way, but not in the current format. They're going to have to make these people employees and sign deals and like just get it over with. That's the only way that it doesn't get challenged, is you agree contractually not to challenge it, right? Like that's it. Like you write your name on a line that says, I'm not going to challenge this because these are the set rules and I won't be the one that sues. I mean, we all do that in life. It's not that part to me doesn't seem that hard.
No.
And what will be an interesting adjustment is how players adjust from what it's been the last 2 or 3 years to what it's going to be next year. That will be a little jarring, I think, for some in the industry.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's this is another phase of change, and hopefully this one will settle down and be more controlled than the last one, because I don't see how college athletics is going to survive another seismic change like a Super League. I just don't see how this will work.
All right, Fitz, what do you guys have going for us to go Power Cat?
We are easing into the 4th of July with some podcasts. We got a VIP one that's going up here shortly, a regular podcast, and then a recruiting podcast on the 4th. So we did a lot of talking yesterday into microphones, and now everyone gets to listen.
That sounds good. Fitz, go find it at gopowercat.com. Follow Fitz at Life of Fitz on X. Appreciate it, man. Enjoy the 4th.
You bet, boys. Good to hear from you.
My grandpa always said, enjoy the 4th with a fifth, Tom.
Love it.
I like that. Yeah. Love that motto.
All right, that'll do it, everybody. Again, we will see you again on Monday. You will hear us again on Monday. No July 4th show tomorrow. You can catch me on Infinity Sports Network tomorrow night from 9 p.m. to 1 a.m. So when you're driving home from your fireworks show safely or sitting in your Uber, make them turn it on to 97.5 right here. You'll hear me across the country. Tommy, see you at the pool.
Yeah, enjoy the weekend. Everybody be safe. Don't blow up your hands. Fireworks, be safe out there. But enjoy the party, and we'll see you back on Monday.
For Max and Tommy, I'm Jacob. Thanks to Tim Fitzgerald. We'll see you Monday.
The temperature's rising outside, but you can stay cool and comfortable inside with Blinds.com. Don't miss Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale happening now. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, and no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com makes it easy. Our virtual design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for total convenience, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Don't miss Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale happening now. Save up to 50%, plus get a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.